In our increasingly high-tech world, the food production process keeps getting more efficient. Despite this, consumers are more wasteful than ever before. Each year, over 1 billion tons of edible food is thrown away. Food waste costs us two of our most precious resources, time and money, and most of it happens in our own homes. But you don't have to let that food go to waste. In fact, there are techniques you can use to preserve your food that can save you money and make you a better cook in the process. If you want to start reducing food waste in your home, you're in the right place. This is Kitchen Conservation. Well, hello there. Good morning, afternoon, evening, whatever it may be to you, and welcome in to the first episode of Kitchen Conservation. My name is Kincaid Callahan, and I'll be your host. In case you're wondering what this is a show that talks about food waste, more specifically, the food waste that occurs within our own homes. Did you know that about 30% of all food in the United States is thrown away and not eaten? And a similar number of that is thrown away within our own homes. So this show is designed to teach you some tricks that you can use to be able to reduce the amount of food waste that you have in your home. This is a two-part series, a duology, if you will. And during this series, we're going to go over some basic tricks, some tips, some things that you can learn to try and help you reduce that food waste in your home and keep your food lasting longer. So you may be asking, why should I care? Why does this matter to me? Well, there's a few things. Probably the most important thing to a lot of home cooks is that food waste costs you money. When not all of the food that you buy is being consumed, you're losing money every single time without fail. Now, the other reason is that reducing food waste in your home can actually make you a better cook. Some of the strategies that we'll be talking about in this introductory course will, in the long run anyways, help you become someone who is a better home cook, who is able to prepare a wider variety of dishes than you may have before, and who is able to do so more effectively, all the while throwing less food away. So now, we're going to get to the main star of the show on this first episode. We're going to be talking about stocks. So, you may be asking yourself, what is a stock? You may have an idea of what they are, may have seen them at the grocery store, may have needed them for a certain recipe that you tried to make one time. You know, they come in chicken or beef flavor, sometimes vegetable flavor, but you may not know what exactly they are, why they're important, and how easy it actually is to make them yourself and make them taste better and be cheaper than the ones that you can buy at the store. So, where does the name come from? What are stocks exactly? Well, think about it like this. When you go to the car dealership and you buy a car, you're buying it stock. You're buying it with the base components that come within it when you drive it off the lot. But of course, you can afterwards go and make aftermarket modifications to your vehicle. You can add things to it that weren't at the dealership. Stocks in cooking are a lot like that. They are a very easy to make, very common base that can be used for a lot of sauces, soups, gravies, all kinds of things. Now, you may have also heard people talk about broths, and I'm going to tell you stocks and broths are essentially two different words for the same thing. So if you hear me say stock, I could also be referring to a broth. So the process of actually making stocks is pretty simple. They're comprised of water, scraps from vegetables that you may have lying around the house, things that maybe are going bad soon, or that you want to add in to just add a little bit of flavor. And if you're making a stock like a chicken stock or a beef stock or a pork stock, something using an animal, you're using bones. And the way that the stock is prepared is by taking all of those ingredients, putting them in a large pot, that's where the word stock pot comes from, taking them all up to a boil, and then reducing heat and simmering for a period of time. This can be just for an hour and a half, just to get a large quantity of stock that's lightly flavored, or you could spend a much longer time simmering it down slowly over hours and hours and hours, getting it to a smaller amount that is a much more concentrated flavor. And then, of course, at the end of the process, you will strain out all of the solids that are within the stock and bottle or jar it up however you see fit. And then it's ready once it's cooled. Now, much of the flavor in your stocks comes from the compounds that are within the ingredients that you throw into your stock pot with the water. Now, particularly in bone broths, there are a lot of components within the bones themselves that add a lot of flavor and properties to your stock. In particular, the collagen located within inside bones will slowly gelatinize over the cooking process. They'll convert to a gelatin, essentially. And you'll see that when you make a bone broth, once it's cooled down, you'll actually see that it's kind of jiggly. It's gelatinous. And it's packed full of great flavor. So why should you make stocks? Well, several reasons, actually. First thing is that it reduces vegetable and bone waste that you may have within your kitchen. Of course, that's the main point of this show, after all. So as for the vegetables, you can use vegetables basically up to the point to when they're about to rot. Of course, fresher vegetables might get you better flavor, but it's not going to be a huge difference, and this is the way you can use scraps as well. You can take vegetables that are about to go bad and put the scraps in a refrigerator or in the freezer if you need a couple more days, and then use it in your stock. And as for the case of bones, well, if you're someone like me who likes to buy a whole chicken and cut it up, you know very well that you end up with a lot of extra bones in the process. A lot of people who like to make stocks also like to go to their butcher and buy some really cheap bone-in cuts or just buy straight bones. Some butchers will just sell you bones for really cheap, or some might even give it away to you. And the beauty of stocks is that it's a delicious item that is made from these ingredients that would usually be throwaway ingredients, things that we would waste, things that we think, oh, well, we can't really use these anymore. They're trash. Well, they're not trash. They can make liquid gold. We call that liquid gold stocks. So why else should you make stocks? Well, they're very easy to make, first of all. It's a very simple process, the process that I just explained, and they'll save you money too. The stocks that you can buy at the grocery store are pretty expensive for what they are. And not only are they expensive, but they also just don't taste as good as the ones you can make at home. Of course, they have to dilute it and they have to add things into it to be able to give it a longer shelf life, which is good in some ways, but it reduces the flavor. And you can absolutely make things up at home. So the last reason that you should be making stocks at home is that it can be used to take everyday, ordinary meals and spice them up. For example, if you wanted to just cook some chicken breast, you know, a very vanilla, very plain weeknight dish, you could just bake the chicken breast and then eat them, or you could put them on the pan and then you could use a combination of ingredients, including the stock you just made, the chicken stock, to create a pan sauce to coat the chicken with, making it taste infinitely better and adding extra layers of flavor, turning your boring weeknight dish into a fun, exciting one. And stocks can enhance the flavor profile of all kinds of dishes. You can use them as a base in your soup or stew. You could even use them to make like a brown gravy. So if you are an introductory or inexperienced home cook, this process may still sound somewhat daunting to you. And I understand that. I was at one point there myself. So to give you a better perspective, I went and talked to someone just like you. Meet Jackie. She's a college student and a very inexperienced home cook.
So honestly, one of the most common problems is that I always eat the same thing. I never want to try anything new or anything outside of my comfort zone. So I'm constantly making simple things like rice or pasta with just store-bought marinara sauce, not really experimenting with other foods.
Not only is Jackie inexperienced as a cook, but her knowledge of stocks was, let's say, limited.
I know you can buy it at the store, but besides that, I have no idea. I've maybe bought it once, and like we said earlier, it got thrown away. So I don't know very much at all about stocks or broths.
So we sat down and had a conversation a lot like the one I've had with you on this show. I gave her a quick rundown of what exactly stocks were, how exactly they're made, and all of the ways that they can be used in food. Her confidence instantly increased, and she became very excited to try and make her own stocks to use in her favorite dishes.
I am really passionate about pasta, and I've only used really store-bought pasta sauce, and I'd really like to experiment in making my own sauce, and I can use that stock as a base for most of these pasta sauces.
Not only that, but she realized exactly how easy making stocks can be. In fact, she had an idea of exactly when she could start trying to make stocks.
I feel like making the stock itself is not that hard. And honestly, you could probably do it while I'm doing household chores and it not be a super challenging process.
If Jackie's testimony should tell you anything, it's that making stocks is a simple process, one that's very easy to do, can make you liquid gold that can increase the flavor of a lot of different dishes. It's cheaper than buying it from the store, and best of all, you can reduce the amount of vegetable and or bone waste within your household, saving you money in the process. Well, that wraps up our episode on stocks. If you're interested in hearing more kitchen conservation, posted at the same time as this episode is the second episode in this duology, where we'll be talking about food storage and leftovers. You can catch episode 2 on all the same platforms that you caught this episode. As we wind down the episode, there's one thing I want you to remember. Reducing food waste in your home can not only save you money, but it can make you a better cook in the process. I'm Kincaid Callahan, and this has been episode 1 of Kitchen Conservation. Thank you for listening.